The truth is that we praise what we love. C.S. Lewis wrote, "I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses, but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation." In marriage, in family, and in friendship, we quickly discover that the joy of something is only half full until we've been able to tell someone else about it. Social media is filled with products, recipes, experiences, and ideas that we feel compelled to share with others. When our daughters paint pictures they're pleased with, they don't hide them in a drawer. They go up on the fridge for all to see and admire. It goes against the grain of how God created our humanity for us to keep from praising all that is praiseworthy, to keep quiet about what we are pleased with. Since God is most worthy of our praise above all other things, since he is most deserving of our love above all other people, we'll respond not only by knowing we should praise him, but by feeling we cannot help but praise him. For it is our joy to do so, as well as our duty. And singing is one of the greatest ways we have to complete the enjoyment of all that the Lord has done for us, and even more for who he is. As the beloved Irish missionary Amy Carmichael wrote in her poem, A Song of Lovely Things, "He put a new song in my mouth. His love is ever bringing cool leaves of healing from his tree. And though in drought, how can I keep from singing?" Scripture's salvation songs. Throughout the unfolding story of Scripture, we can see this revelation response prompt to sing praise. Let's consider five of these inspiring examples that help stir our hearts to the importance and outright joy of singing together. Number one, the first song. The first stated song recorded in Scripture is found in Exodus 15. It is a song of praise and thanksgiving sung by Moses and the Israelites on the eastern shore of the Red Sea after the Lord had brought them safely out of Egypt. They were celebrating a rescue and a victory. "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." Verse 2. Moses and Miriam helped teach and lead the Israelites, calling them to sing. Mirrored in this story is the gospel story of our rescue through Christ. And so we follow the lead of Moses and Miriam as we make him and his death and resurrection the central theme of our singing. We stand on our own eastern shore, with our enemy defeated and death destroyed. We have been saved, and so we sing. Number two, the songs of battle. Generations later, Deborah and the commander of Israel's fighting men, Barak, delivered a song to commemorate a stunning military reversal that freed God's people from 20 years of oppression to a Canaanite warlord. The event is recorded in Judges 4, the song of celebration in Judges 5. Singing turned the aftermath into a community event. Singing completed the joy of the victory. The people sang when the Ark of the Covenant, having been recovered from the Philistines, was finally brought back to Jerusalem, where David had prepared a special place for it, 1 Chronicles 15. They sang at the head of the armies, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever," as Jehoshaphat led them into battle against a coalition of hostile nations, 2 Chronicles 20:21-22. We sing because it is part of our armor for battle in this life and the means of celebrating our victories. And in Christ, we always have the victory. Number three, the songs of David. The Psalms are songs that call us to sing. Honest, heartfelt, in desperation, in happiness.